Father God, I just thank you for Pastor Ernest. I thank you for his service here in Sunderland. I thank you that you called him to be a shepherd to the people of Sunderland here. And Lord, I just thank him for the time that he's spent preparing. And Lord, I just pray that what he brings us this morning are your words. That Lord, this morning, you will speak through him. Lord, give us ears that are listening. Give us minds that are open and give us hearts that are receptive to hear what you have to tell us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So good morning, my Elim brethren, brothers and sisters. So let me share with you God's word for us today, which can be found in one of the most favorite book and favorite chapter. It's in Romans in chapter 8 from verses 14 to 15. So this is what it says. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you receive God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. So now we call him Abba, Father. Thank you, Lord, for this word, O God. I pray it brings life today into our old being. And God, welcome you in a fresh new way, O God, in our lives. We pray. Amen. So my question for us, ask ourselves, are you led by the Spirit of God? Have you received the Holy Spirit through baptism encounter experience? I suppose many of us would, coming into a Pentecostal church. And now then, you are therefore a child of God. Indeed, as just what we have read. And you have the anointing of authority by the Spirit of God that you are yet to see, or perhaps have seen it, and yet more to manifest over your life. Would you like this? Do you believe this? Do you want to receive this more? Amen. Hallelujah. This is a hungry church. I am a pastor, as I said earlier, in Pallion. And we hold a service every 5:30 in the evening in St. Luke's. And we are one of the three, holy three, Elim churches in Sunderland. And we help each other a lot. And we hope to see that doing more and see God work. Pastor Josh and myself, we just attended the Elim Ministers Conference last week. Or this week, we passed, and we heard great refreshing messages from the Elim pastors there, including our new general superintendent, Mark Pugh. I hope you would know him more and maybe meet him one day. But also just a month ago, so it's a series of months, we've been blessed, and we are in the Elim Leaders Summit. And this is happening every May. And I hope that some of you would attend the ELS next year. Amen. Because you know what? It is not just for pastors and church leaders. It is for all Christians, because we are all called to be leaders and be effective in leading on people, non-believers, to be saved and to be following Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen, as well. So leadership is not about positions in church. It is about our posture of who you are as a child of God, a Christian. According to Peter, each one is chosen to be a royal priesthood. You already have the royal blood in you through Christ Jesus. And so you are, you become now a member of a peculiar set of people in this world. This means it's not just about those that hold church positions that are given authority. Therefore, we are all given God's authority. He's our Father, amen? And we are His children. We need to begin to see this and believe this and walk into it. In both conferences, Pastor Josh and I, that I have attended, we've been hearing about both conference the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, about our present season and the people that we are about to reach out into, to be the present Elim generation, to bring them to Christ. Indeed, we are challenged right now when we see who we are called to this generation Z, they say. I don't even know much about the difference of an X, a Y, and a Z. But yes, this is now a generation Z that's quite unique. Sadly, we are seeing so many previously churched people, especially the young ones raised in church, growing up, become an adult, and they were swept to the tide of the majority of our generation said. Would you like to see our children in that direction? Definitely not. We refuse to. And we will fight with that ever tooth and nail we have to be able to preserve our children in the body of Christ. Now, the post-pandemic generation, this is what it is as a result. And this is also this generation that is proud to the new pride. You know, a new definition of pride. And the very secular-minded that is quite indifferent to church and against everything that has to do with God. Many are confused fundamentalists, and many are gender confused, and even growing into an anti-Semitism spirit, which are so aggressively fighting with their blinded ideologies and idealism. We may feel hopelessly daunted and apprehensive to deal with our generation Z today. To see them, but hard to see them to be turning to Christ if we will share them the gospel message. Most Christians gave up today in many churches in defeat to even try. But that's why we need to fellowship. Let me underline this. Fellowship and partnership with the Holy Spirit all the more. Should not be hard for us being part of the Elim Pentecostal churches and movement. And so why is this so? It's because we believe it's not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. Now, if you are to gain a breakthrough of revival in their darkened souls right now, there is nothing yet that defeats the penetrating light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We may, so God speaks to us in two ways. We all know this. God speaks to us through the gospel, through the words of God, the Holy Scripture. But also God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. He links us up to the Father that we'll be able to hear the voice of God. My Elim brethren, are we not just effectively bringing the gospel message to others? I'm sure we do our bit. We try and give it a shot. And neither should we just settle to sit Sunday after Sunday hearing God's word preached to us and speak to us through the church. But we are called to be bringing the fire of God's presence, the Holy Spirit, to everyone to become real, to become tangible, and that God's voice will be heard audibly by everyone. And we are to bring the mysteries of God as well, that He will reveal to you in such a special way the glorious ways, unimaginable, that God is still about to do and wants to do through you, that will speak boldly to the current trends of what is happening and to the lives of real people that are, you know, in such pain and confusion, lost in their lives today. But remember what Jesus said, this Christ commission to every Christian, Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Jesus came and told His disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always to the end of age. Every Christian ought to be baptized so that they would experience a personal fellowship and interactions with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's so rich that we will be able to live as Christ disciples, Jesus representatives that walks here on earth with Christ's delegated authority. So let us ask ourselves if we are mere Sunday church goer Christians. Pause for a while. And like so many going on into coming to all the other different churches around us. Still so much churches, different churches are around us. Or are we the Spirit-filled Elim Christians, like the early Elim Pentecostals that have gathered together from since about a century ago, and that the Elim Church is spread all over UK ever since, and now over a century this time. Now we are meant to carry on, to be the succeeding Elim generation of today's time and people. Indeed, we have a rich past. If you want to know, there's about two historical books about what had happened a century ago. And it's good to know about the ins and outs and the highs and the lows. But those are our rich past. And so happy and proud to be, you know, part of Elim. When ever since I came over here, like about 30 odd years ago, I've already become a part of Elim. I've been attending all of these Elim conferences before. This was this Elim Bible Week, you know, in every places, and I go to every one of them. And now it's now more just the leaders, and it's broken down into like youth and family and so many different gatherings. But I am just so pleased and blessed to be part of Elim now. But we are not to dwell in the past. However glorious it was before, we are yet to enter to our present day feats of glory with courage and divine anointing. Paul was saying, Philippians 3, 12 to 14, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of what for which Christ took hold of me. So brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself who have taken hold of it, but one thing that I do, forgetting what is behind, straining forward to what is ahead. So I press on forward to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We are the Elim Christians that we are yet to do and yet to be for this season. And it is to be that Spirit-filled, Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered Pentecostal Christians of today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What will God be asking when we finally meet Him? When we meet the Lord in the end? The Lord will only ask one thing. And it is not about what you know and learn. It is not about what you have attained or possessed. The Lord will just ask this one thing. What have you done about what I am telling you to do? And it is the reason why we need to seriously be able to hear the voice of God every day. We have read in the Word that to obey is better than sacrifice. The Word is resonating again and again in Scriptures. We read it first in 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, in Hosea 6, verse 6, Micah 6, 6 to 8, and even Jesus twice, Matthew 9, 13, and Matthew 12, 7. To obey is better than anything that you can give to God. God is always wanting to reveal His heart and His mind to us. And if we are just going to be sincere-hearted, wanting to know more about it and humbly trusting to submit whatever that is and with willingness to obey, then God will surely pour out His Spirit upon you and me and will fill you with all that you will possibly need. And only then will we also be enabled to be doing great and mighty things by the power of God's Spirit. Therefore, it's vital that we develop a sharper sensitivity to hear God's voice. Hearing God's voice is that clear evidence that we are truly walking in fellowship with your God. Hebrews 5:11 tells us that we can be stone deaf to hear the voice of God. In other translation, you wouldn't like it if it's going to be you. In God's eyes, it means it's dull in hearing. And in another, it means slow in learning. It's like causing one to become having a learning disability, which, of course, we can't help it sometimes, and it comes to us, especially in old age. But to be like a retarded spiritually and in God's eyes, that is pitiful, isn't it? We don't want to be there. We need to redeem the energy and the power of our ears to hear beyond words, but with the Spirit word of our God to you and me. So firstly, we must keep in mind that God longs to have fellowship with us. Through fellowship with us, God exchanges His mind and His heart with us. And God wants to talk to us. And that He wants that He will be heard. But that means we must show a willingness to listen to Him. Number one. Let us show eagerness to connect with God. You know, we have this initiative right now in this leadership that we will begin coming into prayer even more. That we can do this. That we can sharpen our ears to hear God as we pray. Praying is not just one-sided. It's got to be opening our eyes to what God also has to say. But that means we must show that willingness. And we can show this by first, be continuously committed to read and study God's Word so that we will grow spiritually and maturely and connect with the Spirit of God. Our spirit with the Spirit of God's relationship. Number two, we worship. We've just done this wonderfully here. When we worship God with these songs, connecting with Him, in corporate public singing and prayer and listening to the preaching of the word, but also that let us commit more in giving just a portion of our time daily, 15 minutes, 30 minutes. We can waste it in FB 3 hours and maybe more. But then with that short time that God just asks us to just put down our mobiles and ignore whatever chimes that is calling you to look into and focus, commit that few minutes with God. And I pray, I know that you will be even more willing to do more than this time, to meditate on God's word and to have a private prayer time. The second thing that we can do this is to be teachable and have a humble heart. Hebrews 3:13 says, "You must warn each other every day while it is today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardness against God. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believe, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. Remember what it says today when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled." So it is important to be teachable and humble. And thirdly, grateful. To have a grateful heart, especially when we are facing trials. In Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything and tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. And he will surely, you know, should be thankful for all that is still about to come to answer your prayers. So be grateful. Be thankful. It shows your heart of faith. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So nothing should steal your peace and your joy. So the next one is this. Let us not grieve the Holy Spirit if we want to hear God's voice. What particularly is grieving God? Let us be careful avoiding this. But when we speak like it grieves God, you want to know more of how we can grieve God. If we speak words that diminishes others, words that slanders about anyone, hello may not come and pass through your mouth. Amen. Can you do that? Now, by the power of God, yes. The condemning words against you. Oh, sorry. I've skipped in that. When we speak words that diminish others, and when we doubt in unbelief, when we speak cynically, when we criticize others, you know, be careful. Be careful that you do not pass your tongue. Are you with me? Because God sees, and God sees what's in your heart. And then God hates having a complaining heart. That's what happened to Israel, isn't it? He complained and complained, never could stop. You know, that irritates God. And lastly, we must recognize the voice of the enemy. We must resist the devil. There will be thoughts that will attack your minds to doubt and to have unbelief. But what does the word of God says? Hold firmly on this. Amen. Put your faith, lean on this, and God will prove this true for you. Amen. So also condemning words against you, you know, we should resist that, because it will make so much things for us to react, to think, to get confused, and to lose focus to what God wants to say to you. So that condemns you. They are instruments of the devil, because he is the accuser of the brethren. But you know, recognize the voice of the enemy and shut him out of your heart and mind. When you feel crossed, oh God, and getting irritable, so be careful, because there is something that is causing this, something that's triggering it. So let us get the peace of God, be delivered from whatever it is. Thoughts to speak offensively, that means that upsets others. And thoughts to speak justifications and speak blamingly to others, you know, passing the buck. It's not me, you know. You know, those are coming from the pits of hell. But what are we going to do in this case? Let us cling on to the Spirit of God and allow God to help us. You know, that we will hold our tongues, amen? That we will resist ourselves to lash out and release what is coming from hell. And so that we will be preserved. In Ephesians 6, 13 to 14 tells us that we must resist the devil's temptations. Amen. We must take the full armor. Let us stand firm. And let us refuse to speak or react in impulse of feeling negatively as we're being tempted to think or say or do according to what is being suggested. Amen. I hope I've given you enough for us to start once again and challenge ourselves why we are not hearing much from the Spirit of God, but that we will yearn, that we will be this next generation of Elam Christians that will make a stand in this quite really very, very, you know, hardened generation. So, my Elam brethren, we are a child of God. We are the child of Elam today. We are yet to do more than what was done in the past that we can do for this season. Let's boldly come to fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and let us enter it by faith in partnership with our Lord's calling for our lives into that heavenly, glorious inheritance that is prepared for us. Be Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, Spirit-empowered, Pentecostal Christians that we ought to be today. Amen. Turn all that grieves the Holy Spirit. Gladly connect with God most regularly as possible so you will be preserved from the attacks of the enemy to tempt us, to make us fall in sin again. But where this is, the main aim is to stop us from our great eternal destiny as God's anointed children to take part in the plans and eternal purposes of God in this last day. That and the revivals that is yet to come our way again here in this city of Sunderland. Hallelujah. So let us pray. Why don't we all stand up? If you really want the Spirit of God, once again, He can pour it out now with a refreshing way. Amen. If you want to wave into God and with outstretched arm to receive from the power of the presence of God right now. So let's do this. So let's pray. Come, Lord. Come first with your cleansing power over us. Cleanse us from the sin that besets us, from the temptations of the world that spoils our hunger for your wonderful holy presence and that intimate fellowship that you offer, O God. Forgive us, O God. Deliver us once again. Let the power of the blood of Jesus pour out once again over us out from coming from your loving kindness and of your great mercy towards us and of us, we humble ourselves. Father God, we bring to us, O God, once again, the entrustment of the authority of your graces, O God, divine graces, that we might bring your holy loving presence everywhere that we will go as we step out of this place Sunday after Sunday and to every week, O God, that we face, to everyone that we will meet every day. Father God, let them see the glory, O God, that flows from, O God, your temple. And Lord, that is running through continuously by the power of your Spirit into everyone's lives here in Elim Church and the churches in Sunderland. That we will see the people touched, O God, by your most precious blood. Father, that they will, O Father, come down like us, Lord, to our knees, to always bow low, Father, Lord. And that everyone will start confessing again from the depths of their heart that you and you alone is truly Lord and God and Savior of the world. Hallelujah. To the glory of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And all the people of God will say a big amen and amen. Yes, Lord, do this, O Father, upon every one of us today here. Amen.